Good morning, Lord.
Good morning.
As always, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your favor. We thank you for your grace. We ask to be strengthened and built up by your word, to be edified, to be encouraged with conviction, with challenge, with change. We thank you, Lord. We praise you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 19. We completed the love chapter last week with chapter 13. And so we're going into chapter 14, which is going to deal more specifically with the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. So in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." All right, so Paul ended chapter 12 telling us to desire the best spiritual gifts, which would be those gifts that benefit the body of believers in which you serve with. We learned from chapter 13 that the greatest gift is love, that's agape love, and that it's the one gift that will never cease because God is love. So now here, beginning chapter 14, the first thing that Paul commands us is to pursue love, meaning to run hard after it swiftly in order to catch and acquire. And that is, you follow hard after love. Kind of like, I don't know, the way hunters are track prey. Like they're running hard after it. And that's how we're to pursue God's love. But then he commands us that we desire spiritual gifts. And the word desire means to burn with zeal, being heated up and boiling over with a passionate pursuit. And so since God is love and spiritual gifts come from God, we have to seek God and ask God for spiritual gifts. And the reason why that's important is because those who say the gifts have ceased also say nowhere in Scripture does it tell us to ask for gifts. But it does. It tells us to desire them and to pursue them. And God is the one that has them. So we have to go to God to get them. Right? All right. So now this is a direct contradiction to those who dismiss the gifts that say that they're no longer in operation. Paul doesn't say to deny the gifts or neglect them. He says to desire them with a burning hot passion. Now, some may say, well, if you do that, what about people who abuse the gifts? We got to have protections in place so that no one abuses the gifts. And the answer to the misuse of spiritual gifts is not non-use of spiritual gifts, but learning how to operate correctly in your spiritual gifts so that you are properly using them. Now, we do have a protection in place against the abuse of spiritual gifts. It's the Word of God. And the thing is, people can be trusted with the Word of God. See, for those who are afraid of the spiritual gifts, they're afraid to allow people to be entrusted with the Word of God. It's like, well, if those people have the Word of God and they depend on the Word of God and they're led by the Spirit, they're going to get crazy. But that's not true. So you don't need the leadership of the church or the clergy in between you and the Word of God so that you don't go overboard. That's the problem that the Jews had, and that's how they ended up with what's called the Talmud. And if you know the Judaism, they have the Bible, the Old Testament, but they have another book called the Talmud, which they put in place because they said if the people got next to the Word of God, they would sin. So they created a whole nother book. And in legalistic churches, you have the leadership that put a buffer between you and the Word of God, or like the Roman Catholic Church. They have the priesthood that puts a buffer between the people and the Word of God. The priests can read the Bible because it's in Latin, but the people in the congregation don't understand it. So they have to go to the priest. And so God entrusted his word to people, right? So we as people have to trust God and trust God with his word to people. You don't need me to understand the word of God. You need the word of God directly. So that is our protection against being abusive in the spiritual gifts. Anyway, he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, to prophesy is to declare a thing which can only be made known by God revealing it to you. And it has the included idea of foretelling future events. And that definitely shows us that prophecy is not teaching and preaching. And the reason why that's important is because, again, those who deny that the gifts are in existence say that prophecy is good preaching or good teaching. But it's not. They're two totally different Greek words. Anyway, in chapter 12, Paul spoke of prophecy and the gift of tongues, but he spoke of it in the context of every other gift of the Holy Spirit. But now he's going to focus on the gifts of prophecy and tongues and how they should function in the church. And in the Corinthian church, it was obvious that there was a problem with an overemphasis on tongues and an underemphasis on the gift of prophecy. All right, so verse 2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. All right, so one of the big misunderstandings about the gift of tongues is that it's a gift given to people so that they can preach to other people in a language that they've never known. Or another misunderstanding is that it is God speaking prophecies to a person who's speaking in tongues so that they can speak those prophecies to a people. But the scripture clearly teaches that they're not speaking to man, but to God. Now, when people say tongues are not real because it's a language, it's not a language that they can understand, they're missing the entire point. The Bible says you're not speaking to man, you're speaking to God. So if you can't understand them, guess what? They're not talking to you. They're talking to God. So that's why it's a language that people don't understand. It clearly says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. So God understands the language because he's the one that gave it to him. Now in Acts, when the disciples on Acts chapter 2 began to speak in tongues, some of the people who heard them understood what they were saying. And that was because the Holy Spirit chose to use languages that those people understood. But they were not preaching to them. In Acts 2:11, it says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So what they heard was the people declaring to God his own wonderful works. Now, in that situation, there wasn't any need for interpreters. Like there are in the church, but they still were not speaking to the crowd. They were speaking to God. It says, however, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, there's a debate as to what does it mean in the spirit. It could refer to the speaker spirit or it could refer to the Holy Spirit. I lean towards it meaning the Holy Spirit. And the reason why that is because if it's the human spirit, that means that flesh is glorying in the presence of God. And God said, no flesh shall glory in my presence. So as they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, they were speaking the glories of God and the people heard them talking to God. In John 4:24, Jesus said, God is spirit and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the scripture tells me that there's no truth outside of the Holy Spirit, so I must worship in him and not in myself. You know, you think about it. If you go to worship God in your spirit, that's not the spirit of God, and that's definitely not true. So, he who speaks in a tongue speaks mysteries in the spirit. Now, we learned earlier in this book that mysteries is the word mysterion, and it comes from a word that means to shut the mouth. So the mysteries of God are things that are closed up at one time and then later revealed at another time. It's God's truth that was hidden for a time. It was withheld but now he's decided to open it up and reveal it. So these mysteries are not things that are known by natural understanding. They're made known by God choosing to open up your understanding and divinely revealing to you. So, in the spirit, the person speaking in tongues is speaking the mysteries of God that God has decided to open up to them. Now, when a person is speaking, praying, or singing in tongues, the Holy Spirit is speaking through them the hidden glories of mysteries of God that just builds up the person and refreshes them. They may not understand what they're saying, but they are being filled with God's understanding and God's peace. If you think about it, there are things in life that we really don't have words to describe, but we can all understand. And so that's what it's like. You may not understand it intellectually, but you understand it, you know. Kind of like music without words. There's no intellectual understanding to it, but you understand the music. Does that make sense? Okay. So, look at it like this. Back in Exodus 33:18, Moses said to God, "Please show me your glory." But the Lord said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to those who I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on those of whom I will have compassion. But Moses, you cannot see my face, so because no man shall see me and live." And he said, "I'm going to put you in a place by the rock, and I'm going to put my hand over you, and I'm going to pass by you, and I'm going to declare the name of the Lord to you." Okay? So in that situation, Moses was asking God, "Show me your glory. Show me who you are so that I can understand you," right? And God said, "You can't see me face to face, but I'm going to cover you, and I'm going to pass by you, and I'm going to declare my name." Now, in God declaring nothing but his name, Moses received revelation. He received the mysteries of God. Just by him passing by him saying his name, he began to understand stuff that no one else in Israel understood about God. In Exodus 34, it says, "Now the Lord descended on a cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth.'" And so Moses wanted to see the deep things of God, things that weren't known to him or anybody else in Israel. And God said, "Okay, I'll pass by you, and I'll declare to you the deep mysteries of my glory when I proclaim my name to you," right? Now, think about it like this. Try to imagine how built up Moses was when he left that experience. I mean, he was so built up, the Bible said that his skin was glowing. His skin was glowing so bright that he had to wrap up his face because everybody was scared of him. They're like, "Dude, you look like me." But that was because God declared something to him in a mystery just by saying his name. And so what it's saying is when a person is speaking in tongues, the Spirit of God is speaking through them. The deep is crying out to deep. The deep Spirit of God is crying back out to God through the person, and they are being built up. Intellectually, I have no idea what's going on. But when I rise up out of prayer, I'm ready to go.
Yep.
Does it make sense?
Amen.
All right. So, 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, "But God has revealed the hidden wisdom of God in a mystery to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." So, for a person who has the gift of tongues, it's just the way that God has given you to communicate to him in a way that builds you up. But if you don't have the gift of tongues, but you pray giving nothing but glory to God, and you're not asking for anything, and you're not complaining about anything, but you're just talking to God about who he is, you will find yourself built up. Mm-hmm. All right? And you'll even get answers to things that you didn't ask, and some answers to things that you've been wanting to know. Because you're not focused on you. You're focused on giving God glory. Does that make sense? All right. So verse 3 says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So when it comes to tongues, Paul admits that no one understands what's being said. But when it comes to prophecy, people do understand. And three things definitely happen. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification is building up. Now, the word used here is a construction term, and it speaks of being built up in the Lord. It's in the Lord. It's like the living stones. You're building up your spiritual house, right? And prophecy will build someone up, not tear them down. Exhortation is encouragement. It's like a locker room speech from a coach. It just hypes you up to get you to perform the job that you have to do. A word of prophecy encourages people, not discourages them. And comfort has the idea of not only simply consoling someone, but also strengthening them. It doesn't just cry with someone who's hurting. It puts its arm around them and strengthens them so that they can carry the load. The word of prophecy will strengthen, not weaken someone. So it says, 14, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. All right, so tongues is the only gift we're told is for the edification of the person with it. Those who speak in tongues, God has just simply given that person the ability to speak to him beyond the barriers of intellect. Beyond the barriers of you being able to formulate the words that you would like to say. Think about it. You may not be able to articulate what you feel or need to say to the Lord, but he's loosed your tongue and speaks through you those mysteries so that God can pour those mysteries back down into your soul and build you up in a way that you only receive through exercising that gift. So if you've been given the gift of tongues, exercise the gift in faith. Don't be ashamed and don't allow the devil or your own unbelief to keep you from all that God has for you. See, the gift of tongues is like any other gift from the Holy Spirit. You have to operate in faith, right? So if you have it, do it. Now, that doesn't mean that people with the gift of tongues are on a higher level of those who don't. It just means that's the way that the Holy Spirit chose to gift them for self-edification and prayer. But he also assists all of us in prayer. Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. So there are times when we just don't know what to pray. And God prays through us. And you may not have any words other than, but God understands what that means. Because he's interceding for us. All right? It says, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Okay, so although tongues are great, only one person benefits, and that's the person who's speaking in tongues. But prophecy builds up others in the church. And because everyone understands, everyone is built up. Now, we already seen that prophecy is not teaching and preaching. But prophecies do come through preaching and teaching. It also comes through prayer. It comes through counseling. And it comes through simple conversation. Have you ever been in a conversation with another believer and they just say something and it's like, wow. And they don't even know what they said. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the gift of prophecy or the gift of knowledge or something working supernaturally through that person speaking into your life. Anyway, that's because God is always seeking to build up his children. Verse 5 says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. All right, so Paul is saying, look, I wish everyone had the blessing of tongues in your personal devotions and prayers, but even more so that you all prophesy, because the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. See, because the Corinthians, like many people today, overemphasize the gift of tongues, Paul had to let them know and to let us know that tongues is really a minor gift when it compares to the gifts that build up the body. The exception being if one interprets what's being spoken in tongues, because then everyone understands the Holy Spirit's mysteries and everyone is built up. So, again, a major misunderstanding people have is that the interpretation of tongues is prophecy. But prophecy is when God speaks to the church to edify it. Tongues is when people speak to God. Tongues are not receiving messages from God, and interpretation is not telling everyone what that message is. And a lot of denominations, or a few denomination churches, you may have seen or heard people speaking in tongues, and then someone claims to have the gift of interpretation, will say something like, you know, thus says the Lord, or, oh, my children, I have come to speak to you, and I declare to you, and, you know, they're saying they're interpreting tongues, but in actuality, they're not. Now, they may be faking, or it may be the gift of prophecy following tongues, but that's not the interpretation of tongues, because tongues is not speaking a prophecy. It's not God speaking to the person. It's the person speaking to God about his glory. So, when, you know, our desire and our prayer is to have an afterglow when we finish chapter 14, and that is a time where we're going to worship and allow the Spirit to move and operate in our gifts. And, you know, if someone does have a tongue, that's fine. We're going to learn later that it's two or three at the most in order and only with interpretation. And if you do have the gift of interpretation, you will speak what has been spoken in tongues, but it is not a prophecy. It is not God speaking to the person, telling the body anything. It will be an interpretation of what the person is glorifying God in. All right. So, tongues is man speaking to God by the Spirit, declaring the mysteries of his glory, power, and majesty. And it edifies self. Interpretation gives understanding to others of that worship and praise that the person is speaking, so that everyone is edified. So, verse 6 says, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Okay, so revelation is concerning things previously unknown, now made visible and laid bare. It's kind of like a spiritual light bulb going off, and it's like, oh, wow, now I get it. That's revelation. Knowledge is giving you a deeper understanding and a fuller knowledge of the things of God and his word. Prophecy is, you know, communication from God to people. And teaching, it opens up the scriptures like a flower in bloom, feeding us in such a way that it brings forth conviction, challenge, and change. It builds us up so that we can operate in our gifts. Now, when Paul was speaking, he may have just been speaking of himself, but it does apply to us. When it comes to these gifts, we don't have the same spiritual authority that he had, but the application is the same. So, if it's not in a language that everyone understands, it doesn't matter what your gift is. It's just pointless. Verse 7 says, even things without life, whether flute or harp when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be made known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. All right, so let's look at it like this. Every parent knows the difference in the sounds of their children's cry. There's the I'm hungry cry. There's the I'm sleepy cry. There's the change me my butt is wet cry. There's the I'm sick cry. I hurt myself cry. And then there's the absolutely there is nothing wrong with me cry, but it's here to get on your nerves. But the parent knows the distinction in those cries, right? The new babysitter may not. And the new babysitter is running around trying to figure out what the cry is. Well, that's what he's saying. If there's no distinction, if there's no clarity in what is being spoken, it's just confusion. It's just noise. If I were to grab Tim's guitar here and start playing, everybody in here would be saying stop before somebody gets hurt. Like me, right? Well, that's because I can't play. All I know how to do is make noise. And the greatest gift is love. And love doesn't make noise because it doesn't look out for self. It looks out for others first. So when we operate in our gifts, if it's not in love, where it's building up others, it's just noise that's getting on everybody's nerves and not building up anybody, but bringing glory to myself. See, love doesn't show off, and it doesn't operate in order to be seen and to be praised. What love does is love lays itself down so that others can be built up. Hope that makes sense. All right. Now, for someone to get up here and start speaking in tongues, telling you that Shonda's running, well, the church isn't built up. You know, that's just pursuing their own glory. And unfortunately, in Christian circles, you know, there's a bad teaching that says if you speak in tongues, you're a celebrity Christian and everybody else is down here if they don't. And so what happens is people begin to fake it, right? That's not operating in love. That's pursuing your own glory. See, we're commanded to pursue love and to display the fruit of the Spirit. But when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, we're to desire the gift to prophecy, because that's how people are built up. And remember, maturity isn't measured by spiritual gifts, but by spiritual fruit. Right? Verse 10 says, there are, it may be so, many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. All right. God created language, and each one of them is important, and each one of them has meaning, and none of them are more important than the other. But a language is useless unless the hearers understand. And the point of that is, some cults are caught up on certain languages and certain words, and they will say things like, well, if you don't use this language or you don't use these words, then it has no meaning. That's not the truth. God created all the languages, and each language is important, and it has distinctions. When they were building the Tower of Babel, God divided their languages, making everybody a foreigner to everybody else, so that they would stop moving forward in their ungodly ways. But on the flip side, in order for us to move forward spiritually in church, we need to understand what each other is saying. See, speaking the same language is humbling. It's God's way of humbling us so that we are unified and growing together in the Spirit. See, when everybody back in the Tower of Babel, spoke one language, man was prideful and had no need of God. So he divided our languages, and that's how he divided people. He divided us by language, not by race. But he divided us by language to keep us humble, right? If you go to another country, you are really humble because you don't understand anything, right? And so because of that, it keeps us humble. But at the same time, it's speaking the same language that God keeps us humble in order to build others up. So verse 12 says, even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. It's awesome to desire spiritual gifts, but let your desire be so that the church is built up, and desire to prophesy by the Spirit in a language that everyone understands. Verse 13 says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. All right, so you think about it like this. Before you speak, you have a sound in your mind that you just vocalize, right? And you vocalize it with interpretation. Well, when it comes to publicly speaking in tongues, we shouldn't. However, we should pray to interpret what our minds, what the Spirit is saying, so that we may vocalize it to the understanding of the people. Does that make sense? You know? And I guess the best way to explain interpreting tongues is for some of us who speak more than one language, you may think in your native language, in your home language, but you speak in the language of the people you're around. So if you pray to interpret tongues and God is speaking to you in tongues, you would speak in the language of the people, not in the language that your mind is picturing. I hope that makes sense. For people who speak more than language, I'm pretty sure it makes a lot more sense, because I only speak English, but I know people who speak more than English, and they say, I think in this language, but I'm talking in that language. And so, you know, anyway. Verse 14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. David Guzik put it like this. For some, this bypassing of the understanding is undesirable. They never want to relate to God except by and through their own understanding. While we value our intellect and our understanding, and while we dedicate ourselves to loving God with all our mind, we also appreciate the limitations of our understanding and thank God for a way to relate to Him that goes beyond intellect. In other words, speaking in tongues is an exercise of that gift in faith. And it's moving in faith, and it's not linked to my power and control of my own intellect. For some people, that means that the devil has taken over, our madness has crept in, and you'll be taken over and blaspheming God. So they say, never allow the spirit to move, because that's the devil, because it's outside of my control. And if you think about it, what do people want to do? Control, right? Why are there fights and wars and things that go on? Because one person wants control over another person, right? Why do you and your teenagers fight? I'm trying to control you, and you're trying to do whatever that needs to be controlled. And so, because we always want to control everything, including God, people don't like to walk in faith. The faith walk is probably the hardest thing in the world to do, because you have no control. It's just simply saying, yes, Lord, and I trust you. And people do not like operating in faith. We like to talk about it, but we don't like to do it, because I can't control it, you know. I'm sure everybody's here has prayed, oh, God, give me more faith. Now, did you really mean give me more faith? Because the way you gain faith is by obedience. Or did you really mean, God, give me the power to change things the way I want them? See, that's normally what we say when we're doing. We're saying, God, give me more faith. We're saying, just Give me the power to make it happen the way I want it. But faith is obeying. You want your faith to increase? Obey. Now, I know there's got to be another way, God, that I can get my faith without obeying. You know, I can kind of, you know, manipulate this over here and move that over there, and then I have greater faith. Or I go to sleep and wake up with all the faith. It doesn't work that way. It's obey, and your faith increases. And so people don't like to operate in faith because they are not in control. Verse 15 says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. So what he's saying here is, there are times in my private devotion that I will sing and pray in tongues, and there are also times I will sing and pray with my intellectual understanding. But when I'm in public, I will always operate in a way that's clear and understanding to everyone involved, so that everyone is built up. So, you know, you may pray in tongues privately and your understanding is not there, but you're built up, right? But then you may pray with understanding. And so Paul is saying, I'll do both. But when it comes to being in public, I will only do it in a way that edifies everyone. In verse 16, he says, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say, amen, at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For indeed, you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. All right, so what he's saying is, you may be praying in tongues and giving all the glory and praise to God as you are speaking of his greatness, his love, and his power. And you're being built up and you're saying amen and you're saying thank you. And you're really giving thanks well. But to those who are around you, they don't understand. So while you're giving all the hallelujahs and amens, yes, you're giving thanks well because you're being built up in the Spirit. But for those that are around you, they don't understand, so they aren't edified. So, for the immature believer, they'll say, and it's a wrong attitude to say, you know, I'm just operating in the Spirit and I'm being blessed. I'm doing my own thing. It doesn't matter how it affects them. I got my praise in, you know, and I know people like this, like, you know, it's like, hey, you're kind of stumbling people, right? Well, I'm praising God, okay, but you're affecting other people in a way that's not building them up. So this is why you should operate in certain gifts privately. Anyway, our first concern is for others first. Because you can always get along and praise God. All right, verse 18 says, now I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. All right, so Paul, he never said there is anything wrong with speaking in tongues. Earlier he said he wished that they all spoke in tongues. And here he tells them that he speaks in more tongues than them all, than them all. However, in church, these five words, Jesus Christ and him crucified, have an infinitely greater impact on the congregation than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So, in closing, speaking in tongues is great, but to prophesy is greater. Because prophecy speaks to the needs of others, while tongues only edifies self. We began this chapter being commanded to pursue love. We love others when we lay our lives down for them, so that they can see Jesus, so that they can grow in Jesus, and so that they can learn to produce in others what they have learned from you in Jesus. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. So we have to remember that it's not the gifts of the Spirit that reveal our maturity. It's the fruit of the Spirit and our character exhibited in love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And none of those are emotions, but actions and attitudes that always put others first. So, desire to prophesy, but pursue love. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your clear instructions on the attitude we are to have when operating in our gifts, and that we should desire more than anything what you desire, and that is to build others up in Christ Jesus. So as always, we thank you, we glorify you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.